like to read a little in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 5. Here we have something about the character of the ministry of Paul. I don't think we prayed, did we? Maybe we'll just have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we commit ourselves to Thee as we read Thy Word, as we speak concerning it, and as we give witness as to what Thou art doing over in a distant land. Wilt Thou use Thy Word through the power of Thy Holy Spirit to make our time spent together to be effective and for our mutual benefit before Thee in the enablement of Thy Holy Spirit. Bless us now, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Notice then, in the 5th chapter, the character of the missionary, as he went and was there only about a month in Thessalonica. And then he can write concerning so many doctrines as in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And he can speak about the faith of these people, which became so widespread in its communication. He's saying here the character of our gospel was not only in word, it wasn't just preaching. How important it is in the work of the Lord that our lives back up that which we say, and as believers, that our testimony, our oral testimony, is backed up by the life that we live before men. Our gospel came not in word only, in word, yes, in great power, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit, not in word only, not in the wisdom of words, not in homiletical outlines and clever arrangements and things of that sort. In power. Paul spoke in great power. Our gospel. And in the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance. The New International Version says, in deep conviction. Paul knew what he believed. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew it was the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So we have in the 5th verse here the character of the ministry of Paul. Our gospel came not to you in word only, was in word and well given indeed, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And then the life. You know what manner of men we were among you, what kind of lives we lived among you. And further down in verse 9, the faith of the Christians showed what manner of entering in we had unto you, the life. Paul walked in a godly manner before the people, and they followed him. And I can say that this is for us a challenge on the mission field because the people follow us. I know a man who followed me so closely that when he stood up to speak, they said it sounded as if they were hearing Bonneville speaking. His mannerisms and his cliches, if you like, and things were so much like me. But I praise God he went on to deeper things, and he's a very godly man and a Bible teacher these days. We have to watch our manner of life because others follow us. They became followers of us and of the Lord. And these are the people to whom he's speaking, the people in Thessalonica. Thessalonica, who have come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And they received the word in much affliction, but with the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful characteristic, oftentimes, when the word is given forth. There's affliction. There's opposition. There's controversy. But oh, the joy that comes for those that have a testimony for Christ. The joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul and his companions were examples. And we realize that in Africa we're examples to the people. And the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, that's the character of shepherds. They should be examples to the flock. And we're examples to the people. But in turn, verse 7, ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. As we have shown a pattern of Christian living to those who come to know the Lord Jesus, so inevitably they desire to follow that pattern. And they follow us, truly enough, but especially this is most important, they follow the Lord. They were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And they have a testimony, verse 8. From you sounded the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, a notorious faith. All over, people were speaking about the faith of those Thessalonian Christians. The tribe, I'm going to speak about this tribe now, is because of the faith of Christians in a certain area, they who were living without the gospel, they sent word and they said, send us evangelists to teach this that your people here are getting. No one tells us how to be saved, how to have the assurance of salvation. Send us evangelists to the Banyali tribe. This is a section of the noted Banyali tribe. And that's the section now where our sister Pearl Witherburn is working, section of the tribe. They sent themselves delegates to the Christians in this area, already cousins of theirs, distant cousins, who were visiting, and they heard them giving the gospel, and they said, we never hear this, send us evangelists. And there were five men who were called of God and commanded by their assembly. And they went to preach the gospel in the Banyali tribe, in the southern section of the Banyali tribe. And now there are five assemblies in that tribe because of the faith of the Christian and their word. Made others desire to know the same joy that they have in the Lord. Paul says, we do not need to say anything. So we do not need to speak anything. For they themselves tell of us, or show of us, what manner of entering in we had unto you. The converts are the indication of what sort of missionary work has been done. And I rejoice in the Lord that the evidence of what has been done in years past is seen in those who have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And are themselves going on and banding together in little local churches with their local elders overseeing the group. And all I can say is, we need not say much. We don't want to speak about ourselves. Paul said, your faith is so notorious, it's so spread abroad, that you don't have to say anything, because faith in your lives testifies to what manner of entering in we have. Unto you. So we need not to say anything. And then he gives this wonderful final verse in the chapter, the last two verses. They themselves show what manner of entry in we had unto you. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath. I mentioned the other day that when we went to Africa, we went to a people who were practically naked, illiterate, provincial in that they just knew about their own village and the adjoining villages. people who are living in constant fear of evil spirits. And I remember when I went into the Banyali tribe, the northern section of the Banyali tribe, it seemed as though there was a pall hanging over the tribe, a pall of evil that could be felt. Going from other places where we had given the gospel, this tribe that had been left and not been reached, started going into the tribe. Oh, what opposition we had. And priests who were dominating the tribe without telling them about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That opposition. But satanic opposition too. To go into a place and start preaching the gospel, it would just seem as if there was a black blanket put over the whole thing. And there was a deadness. He laid hold on God that he might speak by his Holy Spirit. I remember one time going into one village, and there were a number of people listening. They were quite a number. They always listened. They never refused to give us an ear. And I remember with one woman who came and stood in the back of the group, practically naked. All she had was on her body were a few vines, potato vines, just hanging loosely on her body. And I could sense from the moment I started speaking that there was going to be opposition from her quarter. As I told of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for sinners and God's grace in sending him to die for sinners, she started smiling. And I looked at her and her face was definitely disfigured with hatred and anger. But I went on preaching the gospel. And as I announced the gospel and pronounced the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, she would give a shout in opposition time and time again. And the rest of the people were not paying any attention to her. They knew her. And then as I told more of the Lord Jesus Christ, her anger grew and her screeches grew wilder and wilder until finally, as I was bringing to the point of souls giving themselves to the Lord Jesus, she screamed in anger and went off in her demented state, went off into the forest. You could hear her voice disappearing there in the forest. And afterwards, when I talked to the people, I said, oh, her, yes, we know her very well. She has an evil spirit. She had a demon. Never saw her again. But that was the spirit in going to that tribe. One of the men who was very much against the preaching of the gospel in the tribe was a man by the name of Toko. And Toko was the witch doctor of the tribe. And I looked at him, of course, with considerable interest, because witch doctors also mingle in with the general public, but in a sort of a distant way. And I saw him, and they said, you see that man over there? He's the witch doctor. Well, I wanted to make his acquaintance, and so I did. Finally, I get to meet him. Shook hands with him. He seemed very unfriendly. He greeted as courtesy required. And I came back time and time again into this Banyali tribe in the forest, in the darkness of the forest. It was in this tribe I spoke the other day about a man by the name of Pili Pili, Red Pepper, who was the ceremonial manager of evil things and the national brothel there in the tribe, and how he found the Lord Jesus and was saved. But oh, what opposition of Satan, particularly Satan, and also by ecclesiastical agents who were acting against the gospel in those days. I got to know Toko, was his name, the switch doctor. I got to know him quite well. And I learned that he sacrificed to a wooden idol. And in fact, people were afraid of him, although he did mingle with the crowd, but women particularly were afraid of him because it was said that any woman who saw him when he was on the way to perform his witchcraft rites would never bear a child. And so when they saw him coming along and when he was going to do the sacrificing, a man came along blowing a long horn, and the women would go and hide under their head because they didn't want to see him. They wanted to have children, sort of that. Well, I got to know him quite well, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I could see how he does this? And I spoke to him of the Lord Jesus Christ, he just grunted and having no interest in that at all. I thought if I could see him sometimes sacrificing to the idol, perhaps this would help me in approaching him and certainly in approaching the rest of the tribe. So one day, as
he was close to him, I said, I understand that you sacrificed to an idol. Is this right? Yes, that's right. I said, what's the idol's name? He said, the idol's name is Njoset. And I said, do you suppose sometime I could come and watch you when you're doing that? Oh, he said, not at all, not in your life. This is not for foreigners, strangers who come into our land. This is our custom, and I'm the one that has the right to sacrifice to Njoset. You can't come. So we let it go at that, but at him again, at him again. And then she sort of threw the suggestion, perhaps sometime I could go and see it. One day I was preaching the gospel, and a runner came up, just breathless, and he said, Toko's calling you. He says you can come and see him sacrifice. So I quickly terminated what I was doing, and I went on with him, and the runner took me out into the deep forest, and we went along, and I remember one time we crossed over a log that had been dropped across the river, and there was a bridge to go across, and through the banana groves, off into the center of the forest, and there was a clearing. And in the middle of the forest, there was Toko. And on his body, he had smeared red clay, and he had animal skins around his body. He had a little whistle, a little round whistle in his hand, and he was dancing and running around in a circle, and every once in a while blowing this little whistle. And his brow had the beads of perspiration because he was very excited. He was shouting, going around and singing and whistling. And I watched him as he goes around and watched him. And I noticed there's something in the very center, and this was the idol. I hadn't noticed it because there's only a little idol so long that high. And then as he went on, and as he saw me coming in, he just indicated I should sit down on a log there. And I sat down on the log. And this man who was with me and who was interpreting for me in the Kenyani language, because I was speaking another language, I didn't really know his language very well. He was interpreting for me. I should sit there. And he was interpreting, and he was saying that he was giving honor to the idol, giving honor to the idol, giving honor to the idol. And then he called to another man who was there and told him to bring something to him, and he brought over a chicken. And he took this chicken, and the little wooden idol was in the middle of the clearing, and it had on the bottom, in front of the idol, there were porcupine quills. And on the porcupine quills, he had fastened chicken feathers, and these were all in front of the idol. And he took the chicken and cut off his head and then started pouring the blood on these feathers in front of the idol, Njoset, the idol. And he fell down in front of him, he said, and this was the interpretation the man gave to me. He said, oh, Njoset, wash away my sins and the sins of the tribe. Put away my sins and the sins of the tribe. Put away my sins and the sins of the tribe. Really a good prayer, but of course hopeless for a wooden idol. And I was sad as I saw him pouring out the blood at the feet of this wooden idol. He did this one time, then he got up and danced again, and then back again, and he brought another chicken to the same thing the second time. I'd had enough of it because I realized this is a man totally given to Satan and totally given to the allegiance to the Bible. Well, I went away and I saw him from time to time and commented on the Lord and his love for sinners and his atoning death to sacrifice for sin, God's only Son. I didn't have any lengthy contact with him, but the gospel was now being preached by some who had trusted Christ there in that area. And one day I was back at Nyankunde, the mission station, and I was sitting at a desk in an office there, and a number of the local elders were sitting there with me, when suddenly there was a banging at the door, and in came Toko. He didn't have skins of animals on him. He had a nice a little white shirt on, and a pair of shorts, and he barefoot, and he just came into the center of his room there, and he put his hand up, and he said, I want to be a Jesus man. And I said, Toko, what do you mean you want to be a Jesus man and you're a witch doctor and you sacrifice chickens and pour out the blood of chickens on at the feet of a wooden idol? What do you mean you want to be a Jesus man? Never forget. Put up his hand higher. He said, I want to be a Jesus man. I know now that only the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins. It was a wonderful experience for me there, and the elders, we were just thrilled. He was so in earnest about it. And so we had prayer together. And he went back to his tribe. and they hated him for it. They burned his hut, and they destroyed his garden, took his goats and chickens, and they were going to kill him. He ran to us for protection. He was with us for about 2 years. He wouldn't have anything to do with it. Our witch doctor becoming a Christian wouldn't have it. But he was there. He never learned to read, but at that time we were beginning to get the first copies of the New Testament that we had translated. Actually, they were individual scriptures and gospels, actually. And he got one of these, and he loved it. This was God's word. He couldn't read. He would come to the meetings, and he would hold God's word there, oftentimes upside down. But he loved it. And then when someone trusted the Lord, he was standing there just rejoicing with it, just beaming with delight because of what the Lord had done in that person's life. And then later, I might say this, while he was there, he has to be baptized. And I baptized him. And he said he's going to be baptized. He said, now, when you baptize me, don't call Toko. Don't call my name Toko. Call me Abraham. Because Abraham was a man of faith and so am I. And so I baptized him, and we called him Abraham. Abraham. He was known as Abraham from then on. Well, we had a wonderful fellowship together. And then they called from the tribe later, and they said, Toko could come back now. We know that he's a good man. We know he's become a Christian. He can come back and live in this village. And so he went back, and his wife, and he had a testimony for the village there. And there were a number of believers who gathered together as a local church, and he was one of them. He worked and built a little chapel, very simply, of poles and mud. And he had his heart in it. And we had the joy after some time of going to visit him there, and we saw that he was really a soul winner in his village, and a real testimony for Christ. One day, and this was shortly after he was allowed to go back into the tribe, he came to visit me, and he said, one of them said, I've got a present. And he had it wrapped up in banana leaves. He gave me this present, and I said, oh, that's fine. Open it, open it. So I opened it. And what do you think it was? I hadn't had as much as she was. I'm glad you'd like to see it. I haven't seen it myself for some years because I left it in this country. But this is the very idol that I saw at that time. This is the idol that Poker was worshiping. The heathen in their blindness bowed down to wooden stone. And the man that was worshiping this idol was born again, born from above. He found spiritual life through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave it to the president. And I said to him when he gave it to him, I said, why, Tuco, what are you giving me an idol for? What am I going to do with an idol? He said, you take it back to white men and show them what fools we have been to worship with an idol. He's in heaven now, and when he died, as he was dying and people were starting to cry for him, he said, don't cry for me. I'm going to be with the Lord. Cry for yourselves because you're going to be still down in this sinful world. Don't cry for me. And he said, don't put me in a box when you bury me. Just wrap me up in my blanket and put me there because he said, I'm going to be with the Lord. And I visited not long after he was gone, and I asked just how effective was his ministry here in this village. And I found 21 people who had been saved. So there it is. Notice this, these last verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. They turned to God, he turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Whom we raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, our hearts rejoice when we see the power of God working in lives and turning men from darkness to light and from power to God. As Paul went forth, Saul went forth, he saw the Lord, and the Lord called him. And he said, Lord, what would I have to do? And the Lord said, I send thee to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in His name. That was King Agrippa, and he was telling what happened there on the road to Damascus. And he said, "Whereupon, O King, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Right away he started preaching the gospel after he had found the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we were speaking about some of those whom the Lord has saved out there and who have gone gone for God and brought the gospel, I thought of this man Toko, and I'm glad I had the eyes to show you. Because the Lord worked in his life in a very evident way, and he went on for years trusting the Lord as a simple believer, fellowshipping in the local gathering there, participating in the work of the local church. And then the Lord took him rejoicing in his presence. Let's get behind those who are on the mission fields of the world. I don't know if you have a quantity of the missionary prayer handbook here, but there's a new missionary prayer handbook for 1981. I would urge all of you to have a copy and use it in your daily prayers, particularly family prayers. Use that in praying for the missionaries that are designated day by day for prayer. Tomorrow to tell you of another of God's servants, those who have come to know the Lord out in Africa and who are going on and serving Him. Some of them have gone on and they've gone into the Lord's presence to receive this reward. So we pray. Thank Thee, gracious Father, for the blessing that comes through the preaching of Thy Word. Not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. Following the testimony by the life lived in subjection to Thyself, in subjection to Thy Word. O Lord, we pray that Thou give us all to be involved in this great work that Thou has given to us in this day, to go forth with the gospel in the world, the field of the world, and testify for Christ in our local environment, in the immediate surroundings of each one of us, those who are called to be out to distant lands and to spread